are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up and welcome to another Thursday edition of Locked On NBA. I am Jackson Gatlin, host of Locked On Rockets. He is Matt Moore, senior NBA writer at the Action Network and co-host of Locked On Nuggets. And today we are also joined by Richard Stayman, one of the hosts of the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. And we are here on the eve of the NBA draft to break down and kind of preview everything that's going to go on this fateful day in the NBA. What's up, guys? How are you doing? How's it going, Matt?
It's good. I'm a little fried. I've been in what I refer to as the information sewer for the better part of the last week, as I've been trying to parse through, like calling people and being like, I heard this. Is this true? And they're like, no, I heard this thing was true. Oh, what about this thing? Yeah, I heard that, but I heard it was this other thing. So I'm ready for the draft to be done. I have a lot of props in. I have done a lot of writing. I'm very ready for the draft to be done and for us to get some of this stuff sorted out so we can move on to free agency.
Richard, I know we were talking just before we hit the record button. How are you holding up, man?
Kind of same boat as Matt. I am ready for this to be over. Information overload is about where I am, too.
Well, speaking of the NBA draft, we've got to throw in this quick reminder that you need to check out our live NBA draft show. We're going to have the GOAT of NBA draft inside information, Chad Ford. We're going to have one of our other Locked On NBA Draft podcast hosts, Rafael Barlow, and our other co-host, Locked On host, John Corrales, are all going to be live this year broadcasting in studio. It's the Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. You're going to get local expert analysis on every single pick. So follow Locked On NBA on YouTube to watch our live coverage July 29th, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Now, guys, as we're kind of getting ready to dive straight in this, I figure a good spot to start covering the NBA draft and just trying to squeeze all of this into one show on the eve of the draft is let's just kind of start at the top, right? I'm of the opinion, and I'm kind of fully convinced, and it really feels like we're trending the direction that we kind of understand and know who the top four picks are going to be in this draft. So I'm going to go ahead and throw them out here. Now, don't give me that look, Matt. No. I'm calling it now. The top four picks in this draft are going to be Cade Cunningham to Detroit, Jalen Green to Houston, Evan Mobley to Cleveland, and Jalen Suggs to Toronto. Book it. Those are going to be your top four. Let's debate it.
I want to know what Richard thinks first as our NBA draft expert.
Yeah, I have no qualms with it. You see all the smoke coming from Toronto that maybe Scotty Barnes goes there, but Jalen Suggs is too good to pass up. It's pretty simple for me.
Okay, let's start. All right, first off.
Hey, Matt, you knocked your camera off center. Go fix that, bud.
So first off, the Barnes smoke has not, if it was just this last couple of days, okay, because Toronto is trying, okay, in my opinion, this is me reading tea leaves. In my opinion, based off of what I've heard, OKC and Toronto are in a little bit of a pissing match. You heard the rumors today about how, oh, the Thunder offered number six and the three, or in the six to move up, or Shai Alexander in the six to move up to three, and the Cavs said no. And then you heard a response that was basically that the Warriors had talked to the Raptors and had offered seven and Wiseman to move up to four. I think that OKC and Toronto have been talking about a move up for some time, and they're both exchanging fake offers to get the other one to offer more or take less, I think is how it's going. But I will say this. I have reason to believe that that this Barnes stuff is not just smoke. It's not just like, oh, they really like this guy. There's actually an active, like, they're not that high on Suggs, and they really are high on Barnes. His workout was good. Suggs's in Toronto wasn't as good. I'm a Suggs guy, so I think they should take Suggs. I don't know if Toronto's going to be there. If Toronto's not there, I think that the fourth pick's going to be Suggs. If Toronto can't make a trade, I think it's going to be Barnes. That's just where I'm at right now, based off of not only the stuff I've heard this week, but like I heard Barnes 2 weeks ago and was like, Scotty Barnes? Like, this is weeks ago that it was like, no, Toronto really does like Scotty Barnes. So I am not sold that that's the top. The other thing I'll just say is I don't have any I think Cade Cunningham should go number one. I think Cade Cunningham will go number one. it is shocking how many people you talk to and they're like, well, I think Evan Mobley is the best player in this draft, but like not just Jalen Green, but Cade Cunningham. Like Evan Mobley is discussed a lot by a lot of smart people as the best player in the draft. And even if he doesn't go number one, I'm at this point, I'm still a little interested if Houston has been trying to drum up interest in Jalen Green or if they really, really do just like Jalen Green that much.
Everything that I know from the people that I've spoken to, Jalen Green sounds like their guy. Like at this point, and it doesn't help that they've been stonewalled by the other top prospects in getting in, you know, actual workouts, both with Cade Cunningham, with Mobley, and with Suggs. So that isn't exactly, you know, fortuitous, mm-hmm. but everything that I've heard sounds like Jalen Green is more than likely the direction that they're going to go. They're very locked in on him. However, they're still interested in Cade Cunningham. And I think that they have kind of a price point set on what they're willing to do. I think one of the biggest questions, right, leading up to this draft has been, is Cade a lock to go number one? I personally think yes, he is a lock to go number one. Now, who that team may be that drafts him at number one, I think there's a chance, there's still a slim chance that the Rockets may move up and that the Pistons may move down depending on their interest in Jalen Green. Because we've seen multiple tweets last couple days coming out of Adrian Wojnarowski is kind of a mouthpiece saying that the Pistons aren't exactly set on Cade Cunningham, number one overall. And who does that service other than the Pistons?
Well, my big thing is this happens every year. Like mm-hmm. I said this after the lottery. I was like, so here's what happens. We go through the next month or 2 months and Cade's the guy. Cade's the guy. Cade's the guy. The week before the draft, it's going to be like, you know, the Pistons are looking around and like, it may not be Cade. And then it winds up being Cade. So that's like the big picture view. But then there's like the part of me that's in this information sewer who just continues to hear like, no, like, you know, OKC is badly trying to move up and is offering all this stuff. And Houston like really wants to move up, but they may move to, I don't know. I agree that it's probably like, it's going to be Cade, Green, Mobley. The Cavs think it's going to be Cade and Green. That's what the Cavs think. The Cavs are like, if they're like, they've looked at moving out and haven't gotten a good enough offer. The most likely scenario is that like, if the Cavs keep the pick, they're like, they're expecting it to be Mobley for them. That's what they think is going to happen.
Richard, we've heard, you know, again, for it feels like months now that this is, you know, a five player draft with those top five guys at the very top, the five guys that you and I have spent a lot of time breaking down over at Locked On Rockets. And you've spent a lot of time breaking down these prospects all across the Locked On Podcast Network, as well as on the Locked On Fantasy or Locked On, not Fantasy Podcast. We have one of those, but the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast, I should say. There we go. Words are difficult, but are there a couple guys in there that could break up that top five? Now, we were hearing Scotty Barnes' name a moment ago from Matt. Where are you at on that? And is this still, in your eyes, a top, you know, those top five guys at the top of the draft, or is somebody have a chance to jump up over one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, even Kuminga right now is on the fringe, I think, of being one of those top five guys. Like for the longest time, kind of like Matt said, like he was the number five guy. And now it's like, is he even going to go number six? Like, I think he's not going to be taken number five personally. Like, I thought for the longest time that was Orlando. But, I mean, Scotty Barnes, I think, is the guy that breaks up that consensus top five. There's also, just to clarify, like, I think this is way more than a five-person draft. I think this is a whole draft. Like, it is one of the deepest drafts I can remember where saying it's a top five class is just underrating it severely.
I think, look, I mean, I think it's a five-player draft in terms of if you're shopping for, I wouldn't even say though, I don't think anybody I've talked to believes that Suggs is on the level of Cade, Mobley, and Green. Those are the only guys that are kind of talked about as like superstars. What's interesting, I think, about this draft, Richard, is the impression I've been given, and you can tell me what you think, is you either have Cade on a tier by himself and then Green and Mobley. And then there's a drop off, and there's Suggs and Barnes, and then there's a drop off, and then it's like 18 guys. Yeah. Or it's Cade, Green, Mobley, those three together. Then there's a drop off, and it's Suggs and Barnes, and then it's a drop off, and it's 18 guys. Like, I think picks six through probably 15 are pretty close to lumped together. I've talked to two teams that are picking in the 20s and they're really frustrated because they're just like, they're all pretty good. It's not bad. it's just that there's not anybody that's like clearly better than the other. So you, there's no value in moving up, and you can't, like, there's just a whole morass around basically 28 down to around the lottery. Does that sound right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, I fall closer to the first one where it's, you know, the top four guys are pretty much on their own islands. And then after that, it's, I can hear an argument pretty much for anybody. I think five through like seven, there are three guys I like the most. And then after that, it's a free for all, honestly, almost the whole way to the end of the draft.
Coming up, I want to talk about the likelihood of some, you know, trade action tomorrow night, what teams might be, you know, sending some picks on the move, as well as focusing on some of the middle range of this draft, which, again, you know, it sounds like a pretty stacked class. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Because, look, why would you want to spend up to 30, 50 or even 100% more for the exact same parts? Just go visit rockauto.com, where the prices are always competitive compared to, right, like the traditional brick and mortar shop. And you don't have to, you know, go in person and ask the person at the counter, oh, well, do you have this part? And they're like, oh, no, did, you know, we don't actually carry that. I'm so sorry. Just go to their website, visit the website. It's super easy to find all the brands, specifications, everything that you need for your car or truck. And then when you go to hit the little shopping cart icon, when you go to, you know, check out, be sure to write "Locked On" in there. How'd you hear about us box so that they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On NBA Thursday with Matt Moore and Richard Stamen, I am Jackson Gatlin. Now, guys, when we're looking at this draft, let's look at the kind of the top four, top five picks in that kind of that range. Richard, to you and Matt as well, I mean, you know, based on anything you guys have been hearing, how likely is it, do y'all think, for a team to potentially trade out of that top bracket of this draft and, you know, move down trying to accumulate some extra assets? Maybe they're not as, you know, sold on one of those top five guys, as we kind of illustrated. You know, you might have them broken up into different tiers. So maybe if somebody's not as sold on, you know, Jalen Suggs or Scotty Barnes, they're willing to drop down one more tier to accumulate some extra assets. What do we think happens there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt kind of started saying it best with Toronto. Like, I think if they're in love with Scotty Barnes, they're not taking him at four. There's a lot of potential to trade down. Obviously, we saw the number 10 pick got moved over the weekend, or maybe it was Monday. I can't really remember anymore. The days have started to blend together. But I think you could even start looking at Golden State and Orlando at 7 and 8 could really be moved down targets. They're teams that they could probably, like we talked about it, it's interchangeable, those tiers. And they could probably gain an asset while getting their guy.
Matt, have you heard anything about anybody wanting to, you know, potentially move down like that?
Oh, have I?
Okay. Yeah, enlighten us on your adventures throughout the information sewer.
Okay, so everyone knows that the Rockets want to move up and get Cade. Look, there's been a steady stream of like, yeah, the Rockets have looked at moving back. Like, that's part of it. It doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Because you're like, but they're embarking on this new era and they need young guys and this is the top draft. I'm just telling you that that's been like a discussion point. All four teams, I think, at the top, and Orlando, I think, bailed on it pretty early. My impression, and like maybe Orlando will wake up tomorrow and Orlando will have traded the fifth, but the impression I've gotten is that Orlando's basically about a week ago was like, you know what? We're just going to keep the picks. We're not taking offers anymore. We're going to stay at 5 and 8. We're not going to move up. We're not going to move down. We're good at 5 and 8. I think Toronto in particular is looking for something major. I reported over at Action that they were involved in talks with the Sixers that got, quite frankly, ridiculous because Daryl Morey is just firing some absolute lasers to try and get the value of Ben Simmons up. Hey, why don't you give us Kyle Lowry and a sign and trade along with Fred VanVleet? Oh, and OG Anunoby. Oh, and also we want the number 4 pick. He also asked for Okoro, both Garland and Sexton, and a first round pick. That's another thing that he offered that he wanted from Cleveland.
I think we need to like rectify and take the One More Thing King nickname away from Isaac over at Locked On Mavs and give it to Daryl Morey because he's just going to keep tacking one more thing onto the deal. One more thing.
The Warriors have looked to move up. The Thunder badly want to move up. And like, that's why you heard this talk of the Cavs offer with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the 6 for the 3. Now the problem I think with the OKC stuff is just, they are really good about controlling information. So everything that you're hearing is coming from people that have reason to try and make the Thunder look different than they are. So I'm a little skeptical on that. I would be pretty surprised if the Pistons moved back. Not shocked, but pretty surprised. I would be pretty surprised if the Rockets moved back. I would be not at all surprised if the Cavs or Raptors moved back. Neither of those things would surprise me. The Warriors are looking to move up, down, sideways, in, out, everywhere. Like, they're on the board. They've explored trades. I think the Magic will probably entertain offers for the 8, but maybe not. Like, it's still going to take quite a bit. The big thing, though, is, like, with all these conversations that they've looked at, right, it's like, yes, they've looked at the offers and they've explored what that would look like. But the problem is always going to be that if you're in one of these 4 picks in this draft, like Richard talked about, you have to do something stupid. Like, that's what a lot of this is that GMs are just like, maybe somebody will do something stupid. And that's where all of this comes from on every side. Every side is like, hey, what if we just put this out there and somebody offers us like 3 first rounders for because they just really think Cade's the guy. You're hoping for something like that, like unprotected first rounders from a team that's going to be bad. But I don't think that market's going to be there. So I tend to lean towards the idea that despite what the Sixers and Celtics did a couple of years ago, I don't think we'll see a trade in the top 4. It's just too hard, I think, to pull off.
You know, where I come away, you know, looking at this entire board, especially the first round, where I think there's going to be a lot of movement is you look in that, you know, kind of middle to the end of that first round, and you look at the Thunder, the Knicks, and the Rockets with, you know, multiple sets of picks each. And I really am hard pressed to not believe that all 3 of those teams are going to be looking. We already talked about the Thunder and how aggressive they're currently being and shopping, trying to move up, but the Knicks and Rockets as well. I come away thinking that all 3 of those teams are going to be really aggressive tomorrow night, looking to make something happen there. Now, Richard, for you, you know, which player for you has kind of really encapsulated teams, you know, throughout this entire process, throughout all the individual workouts, who has generated the most buzz for you and really, you know, kind of raised their draft stock heading into the official day of the draft?
Honestly, my draft board personally hasn't changed a lot. The only person I would say maybe is Alperen Şengün has risen up from below 15 to now he's in the top 15. That's pretty much my big change. I think personally, though, like I said, I don't see a lot of change on my own board. I think the bigger change, though, is James Bouknight has gone from a fringe top 10 guy to someone who feels like he's almost a lock to go in that top 10. Matt, correct me if you've heard anything else otherwise, but it really feels like that.
We're talking Bouknight, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you explain this to me, Richard? Because I am losing my mind. So here's like the deal. He's a 29% three-point shooter who's expected to be like a top-end scorer. Like, that's what he's known for. Like, the analytics people in the league I've talked to are like, yeah, my model hates Bouknight. They just don't think he's very good. All of the draft people that I trust that work as consultants or that are, like, just really smart guys, none of them have Bouknight high. But I talked to executives like, oh, I love that guy. Love Bouknight. You're tough. Really, you know, I saw some impressive things from him at the combine. He had a 1-on-0 combine at the workout that I'm pretty sure was hypnosis. Like, I'm not reporting this. It just wouldn't surprise me if somebody actually hypnotized a room full of scouts and executives. Because, like, look, I think he'll be a good player. But now it's, like, literally everyone is like, oh, he's going 6 to OKC for sure. No, he's going to OKC. He said he had dinner with Sam Presti. I've had dinner with Sam Presti. What are you talking about? I'm not going 6th.
Are you going 7th? No.
One time. But like, here's the other thing. I don't trust anything. If anybody tells me I know who OKC's taken, I'm going to call you a liar. I've talked to people in the Thunder organization who I'm like, hey, so, you know, you try and do the thing. You're like, hey, who are you looking at? Like, who's like generally on? And they're like, I have no idea, man. There's like 4 people that are allowed in the room. Like, that's it. And I don't have those people. So like, this is the thing, is like, I don't know how Bouknight went from like, yeah, no, he's like in that whole combo of people between like 11 and 18 to now suddenly being like, oh yeah, stamp him, he's a lock 6. Do you have any explanation for this, Richard?
Well, I mean, you're asking the completely wrong person. I've had Bouknight 5th on my board the whole year. So you are asking the worst possible person for this. I mean, I see his scoring translating. I think the elbow injury really hurt his numbers, and also his shot selection was pretty rough. I don't think he'll be asked. I know. Shot selection is not a pretty thing. I know. But
oh, so just so we're clear on this, had an elbow injury, which I get he can get over, but like didn't shoot well, tended to not care about what he shot.
So, I mean, it was a minor elbow injury. It's not something that's like long-term. I think it just impacted him short-term in the games that he came back from. It was just inconsistency more than anything. But the shot selection is more like he settled – or not – I'd say it's almost he settles for tougher shots, not like he's like Cam Thomas out there who's just jacking up any shot possible at any given time. Like, it's not that. And, you know, the other thing for him is people knock him for his assist, but he actually had the second-best assist per game on the team. So I think UConn didn't really set him up favorably as a sophomore. Like, a lot of teams will start building their system around these guys. They just kind of kept the same thing and ran it back fresh from his freshman year. So I think, again, the system really hurts his numbers and the context kind of influenced him negatively. I don't know if you feel otherwise, but
well, I don't know. Like, I'm gonna be real with you, because like I've stopped trying to have like my own very strong opinions, even despite my diatribe there. Like, I try and rely on people like you, because I'm at the point of being like, look, man, I don't know. Like, this stuff's really hard, and you have to do it all year round. Like, I don't have time to cover the league and everything else, and then do the draft. And so like I've done the film work on guys. I've gotten a sense like I can talk about them knowledgeably. I don't see it with Book Knight personally. Like, I just don't, those are not my kind of guys though. Like, I gravitate more towards like Jared Springer, who it's like, or Jaden Springer rather, who, this is the second time I've done that today. Jaden Springer, who is like really smart IQ, makes all the right plays, makes everybody better. Shot 40% from three on 45 attempts. Like, that's my kind of guy. So like, Book Knight's like, doesn't translate there. Do you think Book Knight's defense is going to be good enough at the next level to justify taking him with the sixth overall pick in this draft?
He's got quick feet. I think if you trust his frame building out, I think it comes down to how much stronger he gets. But I like Jaden Springer. Yeah, I have him 10th on my board, so I'm with you.
I have Jaden Springer as a guy that I'd be okay with the Rockets taking late in the first. So I'm going to throw that out there.
I don't know.
I think we're all on the Jaden Springer train all of a sudden.
The only knock I've heard on Springer is I had two different people say, you know, he relies a lot on the hop step, but you can't do it at the next level. That's like the thing on him.
But that's a Tennessee issue, because Keon Johnson had the same thing. That whole offense was a disaster. I think even Sean Coleman will tell you that.
I was just about to say, like, you know, we're talking Jaden Springer, we're talking Keon Johnson. We got to get Sean Coleman on the call, because that's our guy. No, I want to continue this conversation, focus on the draft, and I want to focus, you know, a little bit on some, you know, rounding out the draft ideas, as well as talk a little bit about the second round, some sleeper picks potentially. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. We got baseball season going on strong. They've also got you covered for UFC, MMA, you name it. They've got it over at BetOnline. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline and use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On NBA Thursday. I am Jackson Gatlin. He is Matt Moore. And the other he is Richard Stayman, our in-house draft expert. Now, Richard, I know that you've done some episodes, you know, focused on sleepers in this draft. So I want to kind of change the conversation over there really quick. And, you know, who are the guys that you have that could, you know, sneakily shoot up in this draft that might, you know, surprise a few of us, you know, being picked a little bit higher than you think they might have traditionally gone?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this guy is a sleeper at all, but it wouldn't shock me to see him go top 10. I mentioned him a little bit earlier, someone who's risen on my board, but Alperen Şengün, it feels like is going to, I just have a hunch he's going to go high lottery, not necessarily a top five or anything, but the Orlando pick could be a sneaky one. He's someone who has really jumped out to me. Jalen Johnson's range is ridiculously wide, so I feel like he kind of qualifies into this range as well. And then Davion Mitchell, I guess, like, he has to be thrown into this. I still don't know his range though.
So when we're talking top 10, because we went over the top five, right? We argue a little bit about the top four, and then we talk top five. If we accept that Barnes goes, are you with me that Barnes goes to Orlando?
Okay, yep.
So we got the top five. Apparently, Book Knight's going six. We'll just
we're just already sending him there.
I accept. I'm just like, it confuses me, but I accept that this is where we're at. are you with me, Richard, that Josh Giddey is going in the top 10?
Ooh, I can see him going number 10. You held up a 7, and I was like, I was not prepared for that.
Well, that's 7 guys. I'm trying to get to the top 10.
No, I think he'll go. I think he'll go number 10.
I will say, look, I think the Warriors. I think the Warriors genuinely look. Either the Warriors really like Josh Giddey, or they're doing a really good job of convincing Memphis that they like Josh Giddey.
Yeah, and I mean, they missed out on LaMelo last year. This guy's kind of close on offense.
So there's all this noise that's percolating this morning about how somebody reported, I think it was Chad Ford reported this, and I heard the same thing, which is there was talk of Memphis sending 10 and Brandon Clark to the Warriors for 7, and Memphis would then take Josh Giddey. This is going to end up with like Memphis trading every pick and like Jaren Jackson Jr. to move up to number 1 and take Josh Giddey, and I'm going to lose my mind. Me and Sean Coleman are both going to just lose our minds over it. But like there is kind of this bidding war, because look, I've heard the Raptors, to let you know how much pressure the Grizzlies are under, I've heard that the Raptors have kind of indicated, look, we may make a deal with the Warriors and swap 4 and 7. And if we go to 7, we're taking Josh Giddey. Like, I've heard multiple teams attached to Josh Giddey at 7. The reason this concerns me, do you remember Patrick Williams last year? Because yep. Patrick Williams was like, you know, like, oh, he's like, he might go like, like 10-ish, you know, in there. And then I heard like Pistons at 8. And then all of a sudden it was like, there was a bidding war to try and move into this position to draft Patrick Williams. The Bulls take him at 4th. He moved like 6 spots on the consensus mocks in like the span of a week. We're seeing the exact same thing with Josh Giddey. So if you're trying to sort through like noise and real stuff, a lot of it gets to me with the timing. If you're a guy like Giddey that moves this much in the week of the draft, then I think there's actual real smoke there. If you move like 2 weeks before, I'm like, like Jalen Johnson is a guy that I heard like 2 weeks ago. It was like, oh, he's definitely lottery. I checked back on that today and they're like, probably not. I'm like, how did he go from definitely lottery to probably not in like a day? I want to ask you this though. So that if we say Giddey goes 10, at least that's 7, that's 7 guys. Does Moody go top 10, Richard?
I think he goes 9 or 10. There is a chance he goes 11 though. Did you already say Kuminga too?
I have not said Kuminga. I think there's a chance that Kuminga falls and I do not know where he stops.
Oh. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I mean, I've heard of the injuries and everything are legitimate. And I think that's like a root of it.
Do we think there's really a shot that Kuminga falls out of the top 10 though?
I think my original reaction when Memphis made that trade to number 10, I was like, okay, Kuminga's falling. And I had a feeling he was starting to fall a little bit further. And I was like, maybe, just maybe Memphis wants him at 10, but that's obviously not the case. There's been no linkage or anything like that. In fact, nobody's really being linked to Kuminga, which should speak volumes, I think.
So that's where I start to worry about OKC at 6. That's like the only guy that's the team that I keep going back with Kuminga. High upside, long-term pick. Got to develop him. Can't shoot. Yeah, like.
So if the Magic goes Scotty Barnes at 5, who do they take at 8 then?
I mean, there's a few options.
I think Moody's on board.
I think they actually kind of opened up the first domino falling. I think it's Şengün would be my pick. I saw something that Kevin Pelton's top analytical guys have aligned with Orlando's front office lately. And number one today, or I think it was yesterday, today, something like that, where Kevin Pelton's number one analytical guy is Alperen Şengün.
Yeah. On the Şengün front. So I would tell you that if right now you offered me Franz Wagner or Şengün to the Kings at 9 or the field, if I could get either of those two guys for the field, I will take Şengün or Wagner. Yep. That if Şengün went 8, I think Wagner goes 9. If Şengün is still not off the board, I think it's a toss up between Şengün and Wagner for the Orlando or for the Sacramento Kings at 9. I think that one of those two guys goes to Sacramento Kings at 9. That's been like consistently the noise that's been out there.
Yeah, that's where there's smoke, there's fire. That is 100% what is happening with Franz Wagner.
And like maybe Kuminga falling changes that, right? Like maybe, because a lot of this is I like talking to execs about their strategy more than I like the actual noise that they try and because they hate the noise too. Everyone, it's like they participate in it and they hate it. it's interesting because some guys will say, like, we have our process and we've got our board and it doesn't change. Like, if we're just like, no, we've settled on this guy, we know this guy, this is our guy. And then a lot of them instead are like, well, we're projecting that they're going to do this. And so we're going to reevaluate. So like if Kuminga falls, right, then maybe the Magic are like, well, we didn't think Kuminga was going to be here. And then, or the Kings, maybe the Kings are like, we did not expect Kuminga to be off the board at all. And suddenly he falls to us. So like that can mess with things. It is really interesting trying to figure out who the top 10 are going to be. There's some gaps there. Like you can kind of drill down and find all those guys. Like we said, we got Giddy and Book Knight, and that gets a 7. And one of Şengün and Wagner, I'd say you can pencil in again at 9 to go. I wouldn't say both of them. I'd say one of them probably goes top 10. Maybe the Magic go Şengün like Richard mentions, and then the Kings go Wagner at 9. It'd be really surprising. And then the question is, like, who's that last guy? I keep thinking it's going to be Moses Moody, but he's got the lowest ceiling of a lot of the other guys. Like, I wonder if a team just reaches, like, says, like, I think Kuminga's ceiling is higher, and so he winds up being the last guy. But this is how Kuminga falls out of the top 10, Jackson, is we've got 7 guys that, as of right now, feel like very near locks to go top 10. So you've only got 3 spots left, and the Kings are one of your teams, so you just do not expect rational decisions. And so that's how Kuminga, I think, falls.
Shout out Matt George.
Right.
Poor guy. I wonder, you know, as we're kind of winding down the conversation here, I wonder, domino wise, you know, how much impact, if, I mean, it's going to have a little impact, but how much impact does this draft specifically have on, you know, free agency, which is, you know, you blink and it's right around the corner from the NBA draft, which is just insane to think about with, you know, our crazy compacted offseason. You know, how much, if at all, does this draft play into that? And I come away thinking, you know, the teams that are, you know, looking to potentially move things around, the Warriors with their 2 picks, you know, that's kind of my final thought here is, you know, what does that mean for free agency for some of these teams who are looking to, I guess, you know, maybe trade some of these picks around, maybe make more of a run for things rather than pick up some more developmental talent, you know, to cultivate that kind of thing.
I mean, I think the Warriors are, it's interesting because the Warriors are linked to this idea of wanting to add impact veterans.
Well, because they didn't do it last year, right? And I think that's the thing that they've been crucified for is they went with Wiseman last year, and had they cashed in on that top pick instead of drafting Wiseman, then they could have had a stronger run this postseason and not been fighting for their playoff lives in the play-in tournament, and they might have been, you know, an actual playoff team lock and, you know, maybe cause an upset or two, right? Have a fun little playoff run, but instead you punt on a year of Steph Curry's prime. So they got crucified for that. Now they feel like they're in the hot seat because they've got 7 and 14 to try and make a move with.
I think one of the problems is just, from my understanding, veterans are not really, usually you can get veterans for picks because everybody wants picks and has veterans are willing to offer. It's largely been the opposite where, in my understanding, it's been harder finding guys that are willing to move contracts. In part, I think because nobody knows what this market this summer is going to look like. Like, there's a limited number of teams. Some teams are trying to clear cap space. Dallas is one of those. Richard with Mavs draft, like Dallas is trying to clear like a lot of cap space to shell out some money. Chicago is going to be a big spender, and so that combined with the finances that are impacted by the pandemic have created this weird environment, I think, where there's a little bit of hesitance to offer veterans for picks, and you'd rather, one, keep the picks, but because they're cost control, but then two, it's hard to get some of those cheaper veterans because guys are like, no, I got this guy, I've got him locked in, I know what I'm getting with him, I'm going to go ahead and take that. So it's a weird environment, honestly. And you know, I've been asked on radio spots and stuff like this, like, do you think there's going to be a lot of trades? And my answer is no, because we don't typically see a ton on draft night. It's a little bit overstated how often we see these. Do I think there'll be some? Sure, we've already seen one. It's possible things could get crazy, but I also kind of think that there's a stronger likelihood that because this draft is pretty deep, pretty, you know, there's a stratification I think that happens after we get past 6. And at that point, I think that there's a higher chance that everybody kind of stays where they are, with the exception of a few teams, the Rockets, I think, included, that are going to be looking to coalesce when they've got multiple picks later in the first round.
Over or under three trades?
Richard?
Well, I mean, I think that's like, if you're talking just in the first round of lottery, whatever, it's a whole different story because, like, in the second round, there's trades happening left and right.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sorry. I was kind of just focusing on the first round. I should have put that disclaimer. I apologize. No, thank you for clarifying it for me. But over under three trades within the, you know, span of the first round.
Man, I say over. I think it'll be just slightly more. I don't think it's like a crazy number higher, but it's more.
I'll say under, and I think one of the reasons is I just don't think the Nuggets are an example of this, where there was some reports earlier this week that they were looking to move up, and that was pretty strongly refuted. And the logic was explained of, if we're moving up for what we have to offer, we'd only be able to move up into the late teens. And if you're moving into the late teens, you're in the same tier as you're at 26. So why am I moving up X spaces? Let's say, theoretically, the 21st pick with, the Knicks. Let's say the Knicks had two picks that they really wanted to move because they don't want both those picks. They've tried moving up and they can't. They can't turn 19 and 21 into a higher pick. The Pacers, if you want it. Now, look, there'll be at least one trade because the Pacers have made it pretty well known. They're badly trying to move that 13. I don't know why. I don't know if they will. But, like, everybody's talked to the Pacers about the 13th pick. Like, it's out there. There's a pretty high standard for it because it's a good pick, but the Pacers are definitely on the board there. But the Knicks can't turn 19 and 21 into 13. So the Knicks can't turn 19 and 21 into 13. There's not enough value there, I think, for the Knicks to be able to move back and get anything good of value, or that the other teams are going to be willing to do it. So these are the type of things I think that kind of jam it together. Like, I think Houston probably does a deal. I think Indiana probably does a deal. But I think that might be it.
They're going to do a deal together centered on Eric Gordon, 23 and 24 for the 13th overall pick.
Bingo.
That's the one. I'm booking that trade right now. I've had it in my calendar for like two and a half weeks now. The moment the first report came out of the Indy Star that the Rockets and Pacers were talking, everybody said, "Oh, the prodigal son Eric Gordon is going to return to Indiana." Team up with Rick Carlisle out there. That's the trade that I'm fully convinced is going to happen at some point in the evening. And then it'll be really the question of who the Rockets potentially want to take at 13. Richard, who would you take if you were Rafael Stone at 13?
Don't even put me on the spot like that.
I'm putting you on the spot like this.
That is one of the hardest questions because I'm already having a tough time figuring out Indiana. And like Matt said, I think I might actually, you said you don't know why Indiana would want to do that. I think I might know why as a Mavs fan, seeing how Rick Carlisle and rookies haven't ever been a phrase that gets
good point. Take all the point guards off the board for the Indiana.
I mean, Duarte was the guy who I feel like if Indiana had stayed put, that's who they would take, because that guy's like a clear cut Carlisle guy. Is like the closest thing is to 2013-14 Jose Calderon as he'll ever get again, which was his perfect point guard. But I don't know who Houston would take, because it's like, what kind of player are they going for? Are they going for the blend of floor and ceiling? Are they just swinging for the fences? Maybe they take like Keon, even though I think it's too early for someone like him. Do they go Kai Jones? Do they do someone like that?
I had my eyes on Kai Jones and Keon Johnson, both of those guys. If they take the 13th pick,
I'd say it's Kai. I think it's almost too early,
if you take Jalen Green number two overall, then I think that's. Yeah. I mean, you can. I feel like you have to walk away from that draft thinking that you've won if you come away with Jalen Green, Kai Jones, and you also offload Eric Gordon's contract. But that's a conversation for Locked On Rockets, which you can check me out on. You can also find Matt over at Locked On Nuggets. You can find Richard over at Locked On NBA Draft. And guys, this has been a very productive episode. Anything you want to throw in here before we sign off and get everybody ready for the NBA Draft?
Don't expect the old guys to go early. Don't believe anything.
Don't believe anything, including what we said on this show. It's all just falsities at this point.
Every leak has a purpose, is what I would remind everyone. Every leak has a purpose.
Richard, what you got?
Hey, I mean, all I'd have to say is I think a lot of like my big board, and this will be a lot of other places too, the big boards and mock drafts just are not going to match at all. And that's okay. That doesn't mean your big board sucks. That's what I would say. If you're built out of personality.
What a great attitude. Seriously, I sound very facetious. That's awesome. They're like, usually everyone that draft
mean
guys
your
were like,
sucks.
like usually the draft guys are like, look, there's good boards. Like, I don't know, like mine. And then there's like, you know, this other guy's who's this trash and you should never listen to, but it's fine. It's fine. I'm happy to hear the.
Let me try this again. You need to listen to my board and not Matt Moore's board. How's that?
Don't listen to mine. I don't have there's a reason I don't have a board. I just pay for everyone else's. That's all I'm doing.
I love it. Richard Stamen coming for the wholesome crown on the Locked On Network. He's coming to take it away from Sean Coleman. But a quick reminder, definitely want to check out our live NBA draft show at Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get the local expert analysis on every single pick. Follow Locked On NBA YouTube today and watch our live coverage July 29th, starting 7 p.m. Eastern time. But for today's episode of Locked On NBA Thursday, that is going to do it. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. You can follow Matt on Twitter at HP Basketball. And you can follow Richard on Twitter at Mavs Draft. That is going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our brand new Locked On NBA YouTube channel. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it. Hit the subscribe button. Thanks for watching, listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On NBA Thursday.